You'll find an authorized version of the Holy Scriptures in the English language in front of you in the pew. Pick it up and turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah at the chapter 2. And we're going to read the second chapter down to verse 11. Second chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Let's all read it together. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been aforetime sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river, and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Ending our reading at verse 11. Of this second chapter of the book of Nehemiah. May God bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Turn in your Bibles to the great book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Last Lord's Day morning, I was speaking on the subject from this book, The Impossible Made Possible. And I want to continue that message this morning. Turn to verse 11 of the first chapter. And there we read those words, the prayer of a man in soul trouble about his ancient city and the ancient land donated by God's mercy and grace to the Jewish people. And he says, O Lord, I beseech thee. Anything we get from God comes as we beseech him. God is waiting for his church to pray. I want you to think about that. That God is waiting for the prayer meetings. Some people don't go to the prayer meetings. Some people, when they go to the prayer meetings, are not in the right attitude. And some people who go to the prayer meetings are not prepared to set their lives straight so that God in mercy can answer their prayers. But God is waiting to hear the cries of his people. O Lord, I beseech thee, let not thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. Who was this man? He was the prime minister of the great Persian emperor. A man of great power in the king's palace. But he doesn't say he's that. He puts his position in its relationship to God, not in his relationship to man. And he says, O God, I am a thy servant. Well, Nehemiah, I thought you were the prime minister. Nehemiah, I thought you were the king's right-hand man. You don't mention that. No, because that is not important. What is important is our relationship to God. Be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. Is that your desire? Is that my desire? That the great principle that governs us as believers is this: that we fear the Lord's name. When you're reading the Bible, mark the people that feared the Lord's name. And mark what God did for those that fear his name. And he prayed for blessing. Is it right to pray for blessing? Of course it is. Is it right to pray for prosperity? Of course it is. God wants people to come with empty baskets that he can fill them till they're full and running over. There's nothing miserable about the givings of our God. He gives with all his mind, with all his soul, with all his heart, with all his promises, he gives. And he's calling us to be big in our requests. It doesn't honor God to present a little pokey supplication and say, Lord, do this. But it honors God when you ask God to be godlike in how he blesses us and how he blesses his church. Be, he says, merciful and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant tomorrow. No. Prosper thy servant this time next year. No. Prosper thy servant this day. Immediate answers to the prayers of God's people. But we don't have immediate answers. People have been saying to me, I've been praying for a son of mine, a daughter of mine, and I've been praying for them for years. Why is that? Why is that? It is the desire of God to give immediate answers to our prayers. He says, while ye are yet speaking, I will hear you. And while you are making your petitions, I'm going to be answering them. No hold up there. But we all have to admit that we have difficulty with our praying. A true prayer opens the storehouse of God immediately. But if there's sin in the camp, if there's unbelief in the believer's mind and heart as he's praying, it will not come. Because sin stops God from answering our prayer. It's a great barrage, and the great hindrance to praying is sin. And grant him mercy. That's what God's people need. They need the mercy of God. They need God to be merciful. We don't deserve everything. Have I got my correct punishment now at this moment, I'd be in hell. I'd be in the darkness of the damned. I'd be lost forever. I've been crying at the seared walls of a burning hell, crying in misery. But thank God I'm not in hell and I'll never be there, because Jesus Christ paid the price of redemption. And he will bring me to the city of God. And he said to God, he said, this man, this king here, the emperor, I'm his servant, but I want you to change his heart. He was one of the men that helped to do the damage on the city of Jerusalem. But now I want you to reverse it. And I can't have it reversed except one of the men responsible is changed. You say, Nehemiah, are you not asking too much here? Here is a man that helped to plan and destroy the city, and now you're going to pray that he gives you the money to go back and rebuild the damage he has done? Do you really believe, Nehemiah, that that is possible? Yes, says Nehemiah. All things are possible to him that believeth. You know what God needs to do? He needs to take the unbelief out of our heart. That knowing unbelief that prays and goes away and says as it goes away, I wonder, will God answer that prayer? Do we really believe that God can move on this land as he did move 150 years ago? Well, I suppose if I asked every Christian that, they would all say, yes, I do. Well, then why is he not moving now? Is there anything wrong with the power of God? Nothing. Is he unable to do it? To say that is blasphemy. God is the Almighty God. Nothing can keep him back. We need to get the vision that Nehemiah had as far as the Lord was concerned. Notice Nehemiah had a great belief in prayer. And he says, Lord, be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. Lord, hear me. I'm here and I'm praying. I demand thee to hear me. And I want to tell you, I'm not alone in my prayers. Because if you look at the text, it says that the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. We're not praying for our own glory. We're not praying for our own success. We're not praying that people will say those are a wonderful people. We're praying that God might have the preeminence, that His name will be glorified. And in the great revival of 1859, it didn't turn up out some great preachers, and there were great preachers in the pulpits of many of the churches, men of God, many of power. But it was ordinary individuals, some of them the worst sinners in the country, some of them gamblers, some of them drunkards, some of them as evil as the devil can turn them out. But they were transformed by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. And God gave them utterance. Jeremiah Manili, a small farmer, a man with very, very little education, a man with very little natural talents, but he became the great preacher in that area of the revival. And what a preacher he became. He carried with him a burden for souls. It was said in the middle of the revival, when his house was filled with inquirers, and he was there alone, and he was trying to talk to these people and counsel them, and give them the scriptures and lead them to Christ. And he saw that the people coming into his house were getting more and more. And there was a queue on. And he said, you'll excuse me for a few minutes. And he left, and they said, where are you going? It's none of your business where I'm going. I'll not be long. What did he do? He went out and literally pulled Christians out of their bed. He said, my home is filled with seeking souls. They're weeping. I can't deal with them all. And here you're lying in your bed sleeping while men and women are in danger of perishing in hell. And he brought them up, got them dressed, and got them in with their Bibles. And that night, all night, they worked at what? Pointing souls to Christ. What a blessed night that must have been. And it was said, when souls got saved, they showed it. And in one part of the house, there was praise. In the other room of the house, there was tears. Another room in the house where men torn with conviction. What a time. Can God do it again? Certainly He can do it again. Any man that says God can't revive His church knows nothing about the power of God. God is able even in these days. And these are not easy days. They're hard days. And as far as our country's economy is concerned, there'll be more tough sacking of workers, hunger. I believe there'll be the opening of the old kitchens to feed people I believe we're in for a hard time, and don't we deserve it? Don't we? If God was strict to mark iniquity, who would stand? But God can do it as he did it in the past. Notice chapter 2. And here we have the king, the great mighty emperor. Can do what he likes. Take away life or spare life. And there he is. And here is a poor man, torn with the sorrow that he had heard from Jerusalem of the misery and the very sepulchres of his fathers broken and shattered. But who was the mighty man? The mighty man was not the emperor. The mighty man was this man that was standing filled with fear. A fearing man. A God-fearing man. A faithful man. And there he stands. And he's afraid because of the king just had a change. He could have sent him to the gallows right away. So he was sore afraid. And there was a voice said, Nehemiah, don't talk to the king. He's not going to do anything for you. Don't get tied up in this. You've got a good job. You have the highest job that you could get. Don't interfere. And the king looked at him and he saw that he was filled with sorrow of heart. Filled with sorrow of heart. Have you sorrow of heart today because of the state of our land? Have you a sorrow in your heart today because of the sadness of the situation? A world out of tune with God. A world that hates his name. This great nation of ours now running buses with adverts on them. There's no God. Think of it. How far down the road are we going to go before God's sleeping church is aroused from its dreamings and its fantasies? How long will God's people tolerate the insolence of sinners concerning the wonderful Savior and the wonderful Lord and this wonderful book that he has given to us? But Nehemiah, afraid, sore, torn in his heart, he says to the king, he says, O king, live forever, but I've got something in my heart. I'm going to unload it to you. And he said to the king, why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? And the king didn't say, take him away. I don't want miserable men at my table. He said, for what dost thou make request? Did Nehemiah pray right away? No. He had an immediate interview with God. And he said, so I prayed to the God of heaven. Before he responded to the request of the emperor, he had in his soul an interview with God. True praying meets God first and then answers the difficulties afterwards. There are some people want to answer the difficulties and solve them and then talk to God. But that's not the way it works. We talk to God first. And he prayed to God. And then he said, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou would send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. He didn't pass the buck. He didn't say, I'll do something. He said, I'm not going to do anything until you send me, but when you send me, I will go myself. He wasn't setting himself up for a short period, for he was actually going to go for a large number of years. And you just read a little farther in Nehemiah and you'll find how many years he stayed there. This was a life sentence. When God enlists man, it's for their whole life. God's looking for our lives today. My life, my all, this very day, to crown the offering, now I say, send the fire. And what happened? The king was there. But Nehemiah had a friend in the queen, because this was Queen Esther, who was the wife of the emperor. And she was beside him. I'm sure that Nehemiah got comfort from the fact as he saw the queen in her place beside the king. A Jewess, and you can read her story in the book that bears her name. And the king says, how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. When you go home, take the book and read it, and you'll find how long the time was. A long period of months, no. A long period of years. This was a life sentence that Nehemiah was going in for. He was going to go all the way. And then he told the king, I have some requirements. And he made a list of the requirements that he must have in order to do this job and do it for God. God will meet all our requirements. My father used to say, as far as the church is concerned, God will finance his own will for his own church. You don't need to go in for jumbo seals or daffodil teas or pea soup suppers. Thank God, God will supply the need of his own in his own way and in his own will. So Nehemiah asked for everything he possibly would need. He didn't limit it and say, well, maybe I'll go to Woolworths and get it a bit cheaper there. You'd have bar going to Woolworths now, for it's gone. No, he was willing to set up the hardest difficulties for the king, for he knew that there was a greater king than this emperor, King Jesus. And he was going to bring him through. And immediately, he knew it was the good hand of my God upon me. Isn't that a lovely expression? The good hand of my God upon me. Can you say that? that the good hand of my God is upon me. You'll not stop the man who has the good hand of God upon him. Men will try to stop him and hinder him, and they'll malign him, lie about him. But he needn't care. God's on his side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Even the devil has to fear and fly when Jesus Christ appears on behalf of his people. We will come back to this portion of Scripture again, because it has many lessons that we need to obey and many lessons that we need to draw from. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word, for the encouragement of Nehemiah. And Lord, make us Nehemiahs in our own day and generation. Take away from us the fears. Take away from us the reproaches. Take away from us the weaknesses and faithlessnesses. And oh God, turn us to yourself. And before we communicate with men, help us to communicate with God. Make me a channel of blessing today. My life possessing, my service blessing, make me a channel of blessing today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, and shouted, hallelujah.